our sermon series today, which we've called 2020, and this is our third week. And then if you have a copy of the handouts, please take note that there's also an insert there where we have a five-day devotional. And so we encourage everybody to read your Bibles every day, and the readings that are there, the articles that are there, are tie up to the sermon that we're going to be talking about this afternoon. So, why don't we all stand up from our seats, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 9. At the same time, if you have a Bible open yourself, keep that open because we're going to be looking around not only in Matthew 13, but also in Mark and in the Gospel of Luke. But right now, we'll be reading from verses 1 to 9. Can we read this together? That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. And such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this blessed day that we can be here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for this time of worship, as well as a time to study your word. We humbly ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts today, illumine your word to us so that we will understand and receive your word for your glory, for your honor, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may now take your seats. Okay, show of hands. How many of you here have heard or are familiar with the word adulting? Okay, adulting. Okay, most of the younger generation, you know what that word is, right? And many of the older ones, you don't have a clue. Well, the word adulting actually is a new word which was coined somewhere in 2016. Okay, 2016. It's a term that millennials and the younger generation use, which basically means the practice of having or of behaving in a way characteristic of a responsible adult, especially the accomplishment of mundane but necessary tasks. Okay, so it's doing responsible adult actions that make you feel like you're an adult. It's a time when somebody suddenly feels like halat adult na day ko. You know, when a couple becomes a parent, right? They call what they're doing parenting. And so the younger generation coined this term. Suddenly they realize they're adults already and they call it adulting. You know, I paid the bill today. Hashtag adulting. Ay, nakasakay na jud ko og jeep for the first time. Hashtag adulting. You know, let me give you a couple of examples. You know, from a social media perspective, people will post things that they do, and they say, yo, look how much of an adult I am. And then they put hashtag adulting. Look at these pictures, which I think most of the young ones can relate. You know when you're an adult when you think your neighbors are too loud. Huh? You know you're an adult when you care about coffee quality. No, not just bahala na naay basa frap or whatever kind basa lain lagi ang kuan no na, di ba? Hashtag adulting. You know you're an adult when you check work email on vacation, right? Do you do that, Bri? You know you're an adult when you know how to wrap gifts. Oh no. You know you're an adult when you go to bed early. Hashtag adulting. So adulting really is about taking responsibilities that you previously have never done before. Now, I use that illustration today because I want to talk about growing up. I want to talk about Christian maturity, about fruitfulness in the Christian life. Now, most of you know that maturity is something that is helped by age, but is not created by age. I mean, many people get older, but they're not necessarily more mature, right? And what that means is maturity is something that as you get older, you do more adult activities that can help you become more mature, but they don't necessarily mean that you are mature. No? And in the Christian life, there's what we call Christian maturity. There's what we call being transformed into the image of Christ. There's what we call fruitfulness in the Christian life. But here's the thing about Christian maturity, and I want you to understand and remember this, is that God gives us the choice to work on our maturity. Okay? God gives us the ability to make the decision to be adults, to be mature. It's a process that we cultivate. It's something that we can be intentional about. You know, adulting is a nice term. I'd like to do a sermon series on that. You know, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to growing up in the Christian faith, what it means to bear fruit, right? What it means to be transformed into the image of Christ. Someday, we'll do a sermon series on that. But today's message, it's a little bit foundational, a little bit basic now, because as we finish up this series, which we've entitled 2020, A Vision for Spiritual Growth, I want us to have the perspective. You know, 2020 now, you know, we have a lot of things to think about for the coming year, but what does it mean for me to grow in maturity as a Christian? On the first week, we talked about the foundation that we have in Christ. We said we are complete in Christ. We said that the Bible promises us that God, He who began a good work in us, will be faithful to complete it. So if you're a Christian today, growth is expected. You're expected to grow because God is going to work in your life. He who began a good work in you, He will be faithful to complete it. And then last week, we also talked about the importance of walking with Christ. The importance of nurturing our relationship with Him. And that also counts. That is very important when it comes to our growth in Christ. And then today, what we're really going to talk about is simply the heart. Our hearts. Because, you know, no matter how much sermon you hear, or no matter how many books you read about Christianity, or even the times that you read the Bible from cover to cover, we will not grow if the condition of our hearts are not ready to receive the Word of God. If our hearts are not open, if our hearts are not willing, no matter what you do, bisag unsa pa kadaghana ang podcast kay mong ipaminaw nga wali diya, it will not change you. You will not grow. You will not be more mature. In fact, the context that Jesus spoke these words that we just read a while ago, this parable that He gave, the context is this. He was speaking to multitudes, lots and lots of people. They came to listen to Him. Imagine this. Jesus, the greatest preacher of all time. And all of these people were listening to Him, were coming to Him, and yet they were making no response to Him. Look at what He says in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. He says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah," referring to the people who were listening to Him. He said, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's, what? Heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, Jesus is saying here to them, you know, I so want to heal you. I so want to do great things for you. If only your hearts are not callous. If only you are open. If only you are willing. And Jesus isn't just saying this to the people back then. He's saying that to us today as well. So what can we learn from the parable? Well, the parable that Jesus gives to us is called the parable of the sower. Sometimes it's also called the parable of the soils. And the beauty of this parable, compared to all the other parables, is that Jesus gives an interpretation. He tells us what the parable means. And we can see that in verses 18 to 23. And I'd like to invite you to read these words together with me. Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23. A while ago, we read the parable. Now Jesus interprets it for us. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Jesus speaking here. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Okay, so in this particular parable, we find three variables, okay? The first variable is the seed, okay? What is the seed here? What does the seed represent? In verse 19, God says it is the word of God. Mark actually says it this way, Mark 4:14, the farmer sows the word. So the word is the seed. And that is God's way of doing most everything that He does in our lives. He sends His word to us. Now, let me just read to you a couple of passages from the scriptures. It's not going to be on the slides, but if you're a note taker, just listen or take note of the verses as I read them to you. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Romans 10, 14 to 16 tells us that God's word must be preached before a person can be saved. Acts 20, verse 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. John 8, 31 to 32. To the Jews who have believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Do you notice how the word is kind of like ubiquitous in the life of a Christian? The word is always there. You see, God's power, His guidance, His healing, His salvation, and any other facet of His grace is linked to His word. And so whenever the word is embraced, whenever the word of God is received, whenever the word of God is believed and acted upon, it will bear fruit. There will be results. There will be salvation. There will be deliverance. There will be guidance. There will be power. There will be peace. So the seed here is the Word of God. Next we see is that there is also a sower. So the sower here is Christ, first and foremost. Okay? He is the one who throws the seeds. The sower is also anybody who shares the Word of God. It's me today, and it's also you. It's not limited to the pulpit. You share the Word maybe to your kids, or maybe you share it in a small group. Maybe you share the Word to somebody during a counseling meeting, or even in a conversation. We are all sowers in one way or another. So there's a seed, which is the Word of God. There's the sower, which is Christ and you and me. And then there is the soil. Now, Jesus in this parable describes to us four different types of soils here. And the soils represent the heart, the condition of the heart. In verse 19, he talks about the seed that was sown in the heart. He tells us about the seed that was thrown in the footpath, right? So packed that the seed was not able to penetrate the ground. Jesus talks about the seed that falls on stony places where the soil is so shallow. Jesus tells us about the seed that falls on thorns, which is choked up. It stifles the growth. And of course, Jesus tells us about the good soil, that there's a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and a 100-fold harvest. So four kinds of soil here. Now, this parable does not refer to four types of people who hears the message of salvation, although that could be part of it, but rather four ways that a person can receive the Word of God depending on his heart. Notice the sower does not change, the seed does not change, the message does not change, the sower does not change. They're both constant, but the only thing that changes is the soil. That means the response changes depending on the type of soil. Okay, listen, this is very important. It has not been predetermined by God that you're going to be a stony soil, or you're going to be a good soil, or you're going to be the soil along the path, or you're going to be that stony or thorny soil. You see, we decide what kind of a soil we will be. Okay? You determine the type of soil you will be. I decide what type of soil I will be. And that's very important. We need to understand. This is basically the theme that I want us to remember today. You and I have to make the decision, what kind of a soil are we going to be? So I'd like to share with you Two thoughts about the Word, about the seed that God wants to plant, and about the soil in our hearts. Okay? Just two words I want you to remember so that you can easily get it. The first word is the word cooperate. The second word is the word beware. Okay? Cooperate and beware. So here's the first thought. The Word does not become fruitful without our cooperation. Okay? The Word does not become fruitful without our cooperation. Now, you see, this parable is told by us in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke. Very interestingly, when you read the three passages, each writer shows it to us in slightly different perspectives, different angles of the same story, especially when it talks about the good soil, or we can call it the cultivated heart, the soil that has a 60-fold, a 30-fold, and a 100-fold harvest. And so when we put this, this is what we do with Bible study, especially when you see that it is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you take a look at their accounts, each of the accounts, and notice the slight differences. It's like three different reporters talking about the same account. And so when you look at that, you will actually see three different points. And I'll show them to you. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. This is Mark telling us about the same story. He says, others, Jesus now interpreting it, others like seeds sown on good soil hear the word and they accept it and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. So Mark tells us that the soil of the cultivated heart accepts the word. No? It's the heart that says, God, I accept your word as the final authority. Even if I don't fully understand it, even if it goes against popular opinion, even if I know it's difficult to follow, God, I accept your word as what is ultimately right and what is final authority. David says, Psalm 119, verse 128, he says, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. So I accept your word. That's the heart of the good soil. That's the heart of the cultivated heart. Then Matthew, on the other hand, let's look at what Matthew says. 13, verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. You know, a lot of times in our Christian life, understanding follows acceptance. Once we accept the word of God, once we believe it is the final authority, and then we look at it, we ponder on it, we meditate on the word of God, we think about it, the Holy Spirit begins to illumine the word of God and understanding comes. In fact, here Jesus gives us a very common idiom of the day when he said, he who has ears, let him hear. What does that mean? He says, the one who really wants to understand, let him reflect on what I'm saying. Let him listen. Let him ponder. Let him truly, truly hear what I am saying. So Mark says, understand, accept. Matthew says, we understand it. And then Luke puts it this way. Luke 8, verse 15 says, but the seed of the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, by persevering, produce a crop. So we are told that the word retain here means to hold fast. The ESV says it that way. Hold fast with perseverance. In some translation, with patience. So I think we get a better picture now, right? For us to bear fruit, for us to be like the cultivated heart or the good soil, for us to grow into maturity, our hearts must be what? We must accept, we must understand, and we must hold on to the word of God with perseverance. We must hold on to it so tight. Like it's the last thing on this world. Story was told of a man who came to Socrates and he said, sir, I want you to help me because I want to be successful. How can I be successful? Can you teach me? And Socrates says, okay, sure, and let's go. And so the man went with him. They went to the sea. And when the water was chest deep, now they were already both in the water, in the sea. Socrates took the head of the man, placed his hands on the head, and dunked him into the water. So the young man fought desperately, but he was unable to break the teacher's hold. You dunk your head. He held on and he held on until the young man began to lose his strength and began to weaken. And then Socrates released him. And what happened? The student shut up and began and gasped for air desperately. And here's what Socrates told the man. He said, son, the secret to success is very simple. When you desire to succeed as much as you desire to breathe, then you will succeed. In a sense, if our desire to bear fruit If our desire to become more mature, if our desire to become more like Christ is like that of the man who's so willing to breathe the air for us to accept, to hold on, to understand the Word of God, then we will grow. Spiritual fruitfulness needs our cooperation. We don't just wake up and suddenly we are mature. We have to be intentional. We have to be, as Jesus speaks about the good soil, we have to accept the Word. We have to understand the Word. That means we take the time to ponder on the Word. Take the time to meditate on the Word. And then we have to hold fast to the Word. Persevere in it, not just for one time, but for our entire lives. So that's the first one. The word is cooperation. The second word is the word beware. Okay? We must beware. We must beware because there are obstacles that will try to thwart the fruitfulness of the word. So we must be alert. Now, Jesus shows to us that there are three obstacles that will frustrate the work of the word of God in our lives. And all of these three obstacles still have something to do with our hearts. We'll call them the hardened heart, the shallow heart, and the divided heart. The hardened, shallow, and the divided heart. Now, I think you have an idea how the seed was sown at that time, diba? When a farmer, what a farmer does is that he will carry a bag of seed on his hip and then maybe just reach out, walk around the field and just reach out for the seeds and then just throw them. That's how they did it. Wala pa man sila yung machinery sa una nga, you know, lined up kayang ilahang paglabay sa ilahang seeds. At that time, he would just, you know, throw it away. That's how he does it. If he wants to be more quicker, he's gonna put a bag of seeds on the back of a donkey and he's gonna cut a small hole at the bag and then let the donkey just walk around the field. And the seeds will just flow from the hole of the bag. And so that's what they did. That's the idea of the sowing of the seeds here. Now, look at the first kind of heart that Jesus talks about. Verse 19, the hardened heart. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed along the path. And so Jesus tells us here, there's an enemy. We have an enemy. He knows that if he can snatch away the word before it takes root in your life, then there's not going to be any salvation. There's not going to be any healing. There's guidance will not come. There will be no peace in the person. Because God brings all of these things through his word. And the enemy will do everything he can to keep that. But here's the thing. We need to understand that when the sower throws the seed, it falls on the path. What is that path here? The path refers to an area in the field which is where people walk a lot on. And so it's a beaten path. And so when the seed falls on the path, it's not gonna be able to penetrate because the path is so hard. No, that's what happens. Now, I used to play in the worship team, and I used to play the bass guitar. And I noticed that as I was playing, I kept on playing the bass guitar. I noticed that there were kubal, callus that began to form in my fingers, and it's the part where the friction with the strings, right, is hit. And my finger reacts by thickening the skin. Baga ang yahang panit, di ba? And the callus is thickened simply because my finger wants to make that part more insensitive, di ba? And I think you understand what kubal does, di ba? If you have a kubal, it's more insensitive. It doesn't go on. Baga man ang panit, di ba? Now, you see, there are people today who have developed thickened layers over their hearts. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to be impacted by the Word of God. In fact, Some people even come to church with that kind of a heart. A, because, you know, church is just part of routine. You know, I heard this all the time. You know, I've been there, done that. And they have hearts that are hardened, not willing to hear the word of God. And when you think about the hardened heart, when you think about the calloused heart, we need to ask the question ourselves, what are the things in our lives that cause us to be unresponsive to the word of God? What is it in your life that when the seed of the word of God is sown, it will cause us to fail to respond because we have hardened our hearts? I'm going to give you two thoughts, two examples, although we could have more, actually. The first one, I believe, that can cause us to be callous, to have an unresponsive heart, is the influence of our friends, ungodly friends. Now, I'm not saying that we should not have friends, but what I'm referring to here is that I see a lot of Christians with close friends and people who do not believe in God. And we open ourselves up to them. We share our thoughts to them. You know, they are our best friends, but dili sila Christian. You know what? Close friends, they impact us. They can harden our hearts, and they can soften our hearts. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good characters." When you and I allow our friends to beat a path through our lives and harden our soil, our hearts, you know, it's not good. The question is, who do you go for advice? Who is that person in your life that when he says something, you immediately listen to that person? Does that person give you godly advice? Does that person walk with the Lord? And we need to understand that our company, the people we go with, can influence us, can actually help harden our hearts or soften our hearts. A second thing that I think can influence our hearts is entertainment. Again, nothing wrong with entertainment. I'm not saying don't be entertained by the movies or don't listen to music. But we do need to understand that our entertainment can also influence us more than we think. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, "I will set my eyes no vile thing. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate, they will not cling to me." Paul says it in a more positive way. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." You know what happens as a result of the things you read, or the things that you hear, or the things you watch? You know what happens to your heart? They have a conditioning effect. Because you see, we are not neutral, and neither are our influences neutral. They affect us either positively or negatively. You see, if being with a particular friend or being watching this particular show or listening to this particular podcast or blogger or reading this particular writer, if it will cause you to be more insensitive to the Word of God, then we need to be very careful. Because you might be developing a calloused heart, a hardened heart, such that when the word of God is sown, you won't respond at all. So that's the first one, the first heart. Okay, there's a second one, the shallow heart. This heart is, I think this represents the person or the person who has a superficial understanding of Christianity. And the thing is, they're okay with it. On the surface, he looks like the real deal. Verse 20, Matthew 13 says, "The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy." This is the guy who says, "Praise the Lord, I'm so glad. Na miasa yahang wali o igo kay ko hit the heart. You know, nindot sa singing, the worship was so beautiful. You know, there was a lot of fun in the fellowship. Wow, I want this. Count me in, right? Again, I'm not saying that being excited is wrong, okay? But this particular kind of a person that Jesus is talking about to us here is the one who has no depth, okay? He's all about the externals. He's all about the bang. He's all about the, yes, okay, ko, right? But no depth, very shallow. Look at verse 21. But since he has no root, he only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly, what? Falls away. So here's the problem. When the word is sown and something happens because of the word, he's persecuted, trouble comes because of the word. You know, sometimes the word comes to us and we are called to obey, and then we obey, and then, you know, people come against us because of our obedience to the word of God. How do we respond to that? Look at what Luke 8:13 says. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They, what? Believe for a while. But in the time of testing, they fall away. So they look like the real deal, but ultimately, they are unfruitful. There's no evidence of life change. And even though they seem to be like the real thing, but testing shows that they will fall away. How many of us have friends whom we have seen in church? And for a few weeks, they're here, they're singing with us, they're listening to the word of God with us, and they're taking notes with us. And then, a few weeks later, where are they? Where did they go? And then you hear that, you know what, something happened in their lives, and you know, some problem came in, and wala na siya. Wala na. You see, real faith endures even through adversity. Real faith endures even through adversity. Suffering does not extinguish our faith. Rather, it reveals our faith. Amen? That's why Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It's talking about suffering here, okay? It says, these sufferings have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by faith, so that your faith may be proved genuine because of the sufferings, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know, some of us can't hear God. Some of us can't see the hands of God. Some of us can't understand what God is doing in our lives because we are shallow. We have no depth. We say, count me in when it's convenient. Apil ko ana, basta lingaw. No? But we have this form of godliness that denies the power. We don't go deep. And you know, the person who never gets deep into the word is the person where the word never gets deep into him. And in time of testing, this person will fall. So we need to be asking a question again. We were asking ourselves, what happens? What is it that hardens our heart? We also must ask ourselves, what keeps our hearts shallow? Are we the kind of people who want the best from God, but we don't want to pay the price of discipline when it comes to the word of God? Are we the kind of people who just, paminawan lang ko sa wali? You know, I like a good preaching. I want to listen, but I don't want to take the time to study the word of God myself. Do you know that when you come here every Sunday and listen to me share the word of God, you're getting second-hand information, second-hand reflection, because I had to reflect it myself first, and then I share it with you. Do you know, and of course you do know, don't you know that you can do it yourself? Amen. And a lot of us don't want to take the discipline of, because it takes time. It takes an effort for us to stop our day and have that time to listen, to study, to meditate, to go deep into the Word of God. That's why a lot of Christians today are shallow. So the hardened heart, lack of understanding. The shallow heart, lack of depth. And the third one is the divided heart. This, I think, is very difficult. These are the ones who want to believe in God, to commit to God, but at the same time, they also want to be in the world. It's like one step here with God, and the other step here in the world. You know, I want both of them. Verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. The thorns here that Jesus is talking about are most likely weeds. Weeds. The Bible has 17 different Hebrew and Greek words that use to describe weeds. And they are translated as thorns, thistles, bristles, and the like. And the seed that falls on this thorny soil, I think most of us fall into this category. This is the person who wants the best of both worlds. I want Jesus, but I also want the world. He's still drawn to the Word of God. He's also drawn to the world. His heart is trying to serve two masters, but in the end, he serves mammon and not God. Now, our Lord here identifies for us three things that will cause us to choke the Word of God in our hearts. Matthew mentions two. Luke mentions the third one. So let me read Luke chapter 8, verse 14 to you. It says, the seed that fell among thorns, or among the weeds, now stands for those who hear, but they go on their way. They are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So it's the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the pleasures of the world. We can all relate. Amen? The worries of life. Kinsaman diri walay worry. Right? We worry about where we're going to get our next paycheck. Or we worry about our children or our grandchildren. We worry about the exam in school tomorrow. We worry, right, about our loved ones. We worry about our love life. It's how we handle our worries that decide whether it chokes our spiritual life or it causes it to flourish. Because you know what happens? Worry competes with faith for our time. You know, when you worry so much and you never cast your care on the Lord, you know what happens? Diba sigag worry, worry, worry. You know what happens when you do that? It's as you lose sight of God. When you worry all the time, it's as if God is not there. Diba? When we worry all the time, when we think about the problem all the time, we don't even lift it up to God. We forget that there's a God. That's what happens when we worry all the time. You know, that's why Jesus says, you know, the worries of this world will cause your heart to be insensitive to the Word of God. It will choke the Word of God. A second one, he says, the deceitfulness of wealth. You know what choke is? You know, now, riches in themselves are not the problem. Again, it's our reliance on riches that causes us to make it a substitute for God. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Right? Again, nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with having money. Nothing wrong with being rich, actually. Right? In the Bible, there are a lot of people who are richer. Abraham was rich. Job was rich. I believe the friends of Jesus, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, I believe they were rich because they could all go to their house. Right? And nothing wrong with riches. But when we let riches take the place of God and choke the Word of God, then something's wrong. So, the third one is the pleasures of this world. The pleasures of this world is mentioned here in Luke. Ask anybody, and even ask yourself this question, what do you want most of life? Most of the people, and maybe we won't even admit it, but most of us, you know what we want? We want to be happy, right? We want to be happy. That's our goal for life. We want to be happy. And Paul tells us an example of a man named Demas who, because he loved this world, abandoned him. Again, nothing wrong with being happy, right? It's good to be happy. But then again, the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, the pleasures of life, they have all this tendency to choke the Word of God, such that what happens? Jesus says they become unfruitful. They do not mature. That is why they cannot do adulting. They are not maturing in the faith. They're always there, baby Christians. Why? Ngano mo magini do gay na kanin siyang Christian? Ngano? Ang sige mo na kakachek problema, sige lagu na una siyang problema. Ang sige lagu na una siyang love life. Ang sige lagu na una siyang kwarta, wa koy kwarta. You know what that does, right? It chokes the Word of God. Such that it's as if God is not there. Again, we should be asking the question, what keeps our hearts divided? What keeps our heart divided? I think one of the answers would be neglect. Neglect. You see, if you think about it from an agricultural perspective, you know, you look at the field and weeds, you find weeds. Is it the farmer who planted the weeds? Of course not, right? It's almost like magic. The farmer just leaves the field for a couple of days and he comes back and the next thing he knows, it's overgrown with weeds, right? The presence of weeds means the farmer neglected his field. And you see, weeds, in one sense, if you think about it from an agricultural perspective, it's a fact of life. We have to manage it. Any farmer or gardener will tell you that 100% control of weeds is impossible. You cannot take all the weeds out. The same with us. We must be on constant watch when it comes to these things, the thorns in our spiritual lives. The world, the cares of this world, the influence of this world are all around us. We cannot eradicate that totally. But we can manage them, right? What happens when you miss a day of prayer? Well, what happens when you miss a day of meditating and reading and studying the Word of God? What happens? Weeds grow. It's a sign of neglect. It's a sign that we are not managing our lives well. Entanglements come, and they must be plucked out. And the problem is, you know, we need to be consistent. We need to prioritize our hearts so that we know that when these things come, we know that they have this tendency to choke our hearts from the Word of God. So Jesus tells us three things to beware of. The hardened heart, right? Problem of understanding. The shallow heart, problem of depth. The divided heart, problem of priority and consistency. So, two things Jesus tells us. Fruitfulness needs our cooperation. And fruitfulness, we must beware of hardness of shallowness or a divided heart. You know what? When you go out of this place today, each one of you will walk out differently because each one of you have different conditions in your heart. You all heard the same message. You all heard the same preaching, but you will all go out differently. Some of you will go and change. Some of you will, you know, it doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter what the word of God is. Some of you might even go out angry. You know, I don't agree with that guy. Some of you might even go out for a while happy. Yeah, I like that. It was good. But ultimately, there's no real difference in life. And some of you would go out changed, growing, accepting the word of God and saying, yes, Lord, I want to grow. I want to mature. And you allow the seed of the word of God to be planted in your hearts so that it will grow. And later on, there will be a harvest of fruitfulness, a harvest of maturity in your life. And so the question we want to ask today is this: what kind of a heart do you have? What kind of a heart do you have? As one who has proclaimed the word to you today, I share the word to you with a desire for your best. Not only for you, for myself as well. And I know some of you might not care. And some of you will just listen here and go out here. It will remain unchanged. And sometimes the preacher will say, you know, what does it matter? Who cares? You know, kakapoy bi ani. But as one who sows the seed, I do need to understand the perspective of the sower. When the sower sows the seed, he doesn't expect a 100% return. Nobody expects that, right? But he sows knowing that maybe one seed, if it is sown in good soil, maybe that one seed will have a harvest. Amen? That one little seed received in good soil can bring such joy and glory and abundance. And as we think about that, you know, we need to pray, God, give me the opportunity. Open opportunities in my life so that your word can be planted in my heart, that it will grow. And that there will be a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of good works, a harvest of generosity for you. You know, someone said, you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you cannot count the number of apples in a seed. Get that? You have an apple, you can count the number of seeds in the apple, but you cannot count the number of apples in a seed. If you throw that seed, and if that seed is thrown into good soil, it can have a harvest of many, many more apples. And my prayer today is that as we think of that, that we will have a heart of the good soil, that we will come before God and just reflect, God, when do I have a hardened heart? What happens? How can it be that I can be so shallow at times? And when does it come? When I have a divided heart? When all of these things, I allow them to divide my heart and my priority for you. God, I want to be like that soil, that good soil, willingly accepting, reflecting and understanding your word and holding on with perseverance to your word. May God bless us with great and wonderful fruitfulness. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for this truth that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your sovereignty in our lives. We also thank you for reminding us of our responsibility to grow and to mature, to let your Holy Spirit work in our hearts and in our lives, so that ultimately, Lord, ultimately, there will be a harvest of souls. There will be a harvest of righteousness. There will be a harvest of generosity. There will be a harvest in our lives that will bring glory and honor and praise to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.